And welcome to Ode to Games. I'm Kevin Fatling, joined alongside Logan Plant.
Hey, Kevin.
How you doing?
Good. Excited to talk about some games.
Sweet. And Zach Ross.
Hi.
Hello.
How's it going?
We got a lot to talk about this week, mainly because this last week had a number of big releases in games that we have been playing, and so we're going to talk about those. Starting off with a little bit of a smaller title that took some time to get here. Logan, you played this one, Detective Pikachu. Very curious about this game. You played through it. What'd you think about it?
I'm still in the process of finishing it. I think I have just a couple hours to go in it. But it is very much Ace Attorney-style game. But it strips away kind of the key part of Ace Attorney, which is the court cases. Mm-hmm. And so what Detective Pikachu is with your little sidekick Pikachu, who has a very deep voice and is like a grumpy middle-aged man.
Danny DeVito.
It is not Danny DeVito. You go around different towns, areas, and just solve basic mysteries. The first one of the game, for example, someone loses a necklace. Ooh. And so you have to track down different Pokemon to interview and people to interview to try and figure out what the necklace is. And something Ace Attorney suffers with that Detective Pikachu is even on a grander scale is that you can know the answer to a solution 10, 15 minutes before you finally get there in the game. Mm-hmm. And Ace Attorney kind of gets away with that because it's only a couple steps. But Detective Pikachu, the answers are so obvious sometimes because it is aimed at kids. It is definitely an adventure game for beginning gamers. It's like, all right, I'll know at the very start exactly what I need to do, but you need to talk to every person in an area and talk to every Pokemon in an area. And it is a very cute game. It's charming. But again, just like we talked about on our Pokemon show a couple weeks ago, the writing is a little bit of that Pokemon blandness. It's better than previous Pokemon titles have been, especially Detective Pikachu's writing. He, as a character, is very funny. There's a little Pikachu icon on your bottom screen, and you can tap on it, and then it'll just go to like a 3D animation of him just standing there, and he'll just say some random thing. Like, he'll be like, I could really go for some black coffee right now. And then he's just like, ugh, just like all grumpy. So he's a funny character. He's very distinct from Ash's Pikachu in the anime.
I thought they were the same Pikachu.
It is not the same Pikachu. Man.
There's a lot of Pikachu.
That just shattered my world.
But the story it's pretty good. There's an overarching story, which I think is better than I thought it was going to be. It's a better story than I think we've seen in recent Pokemon games. But the gameplay is just very simple, and some of the characters' dialogue is also very simple. But it's fun to go through. The characters are fun enough. There's Pokemon from every generation just in the game. But yeah, it's fun. Some cool characters show up. This isn't a spoiler because it's one of the trailers, but Mewtwo is a big part of it at one point also. So yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm enjoying it, but I wouldn't say it's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems with a lot of reviewers, they like the concept of the game. And you were talking about this earlier this week. You like the concept of the game, but maybe it'd be better for a second go if they kind of iron some of these things out and make it a little bit more complex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first hour, I was super hyped and really into it. Like, the first cutscene's just awesome. It's just this Pikachu walking down the street, like, taking himself very seriously. He almost gets hit by a car. And then, like, he has a dream and someone else gets hit by a car. And he wakes up and he's like, always the same dream. And it's like, man, this is going to be, this is taking itself seriously. And it has this really cool, like, camera pan shot of the city. Then it goes underneath, like, into the underworld of the sewers. And there's, like, a bunch of Rattatas running around. And it was a really cool intro. And then it kind of just, it feels the same after a while. The gameplay is just a little too simple. I wish that, I don't know if there was a harder difficulty or something, which is hard to do in games this linear and story-based, but something to keep me interested in between big story points.
Mm-hmm. Is there a lot of smaller cases that you do and then it's like, boom, here's the main one that actually progresses the story? So, or do they all kind of work towards that
main story? It's weird because a lot of them, it's like you'll learn bits and pieces about the main story as you go, but almost none of them are actually about the main story. It's like, we need to go to this cafe to talk to this person. You get to the cafe and it's like, oh no, someone stole our money. And then you solve that while you're there.
Okay.
It's a lot of stuff like that, which is, it's fine. It's just talking to the people It's like sometimes one annoying thing, going back to dialogue, is that Tim, your main character, can only talk to Detective Pikachu. Yeah, he can't understand any other Pokemon. Mm-hmm. So Detective Pikachu has to interview all the Pokemon himself. And it just gets really old when Detective Pikachu's talking to, like, a Poochyena. And then Tim's like, what's he saying, Detective Pikachu? And Detective's like, he says that the Pokemon we're looking for went that way. Oh, what's that you say, Poochyena? And it just gets... That kind of stuff is grating at me as the game goes on. But I am enjoying it. I think it's a cool concept. As a big Ace Attorney fan, I'm having fun with it. But it's not something I would really recommend to, like, adventure game fans or Pokemon fans. It's weird. It's like, I don't know who this game is for. Because if you're an Ace Attorney fan, then I think you'll be let down with this. Or if you're a Leighton fan, you'll be let down with this. Because it's not nearly as clever or engaging. And if you're a Pokemon fan, like, you might enjoy the world just because of seeing all these creatures in a completely different way. But at its core, this is just not Pokemon either. So I don't really know who this game is for.
That's interesting. That's
So it's it
weird
has
a conundrum.
It has a lot of problems, but it's a good core concept that's pretty well executed. It just has a few things that stick out to me, like the dialogue and then kind of repetitive, stale gameplay. But, like, the world is fun, the graphics look really good, and Detective Pikachu is a really good character.
So would this be a game that you want them to take another crack at to try and make a sequel?
I think so. Yeah, I think making it almost more, like, this is kind of closer to Leighton, actually, than Ace Attorney, in that it's one big story. I think if they went in Ace Attorney round, they're like, all right, here are defined separate cases. They do have chapters in this game, and you go other places, but it's constantly working towards this different arc. I think if they fleshed out these individual cases more, instead of just kind of making them feel like they're to the side of the main story, I think it could be really, really charming. If it's like, all right, we're at this cafe now, here's all these really well-written characters and things like that, interesting things to do, spice it up with each case, I think it would be really good. So it could have a successful sequel. I think it's one of those games we could look back at with a sequel and look like, all right, here's the first one that kind of set the stage for the second one, which ran away with it.
Some series will do that where the first one's fine, but the next ones build off of those so much that you're almost like, yeah, don't play the first one. It was good to set the stage, but there's no real purpose in playing it now.
Do you feel that way about Uncharted?
Yeah,
the only issue is that one is... you know, has a lot more story in it, so I feel like...
You kind of have to.
You should at the very least see the cutscenes of that game, or else I don't know if you'll have the same attachment to them, especially starting out with two. But, yeah, in that similar vein, they're still trying to figure things out. So, that may be a similar case there.
Yeah. But if you're a huge Pokemon fan, I mean, you should probably pick this one up. You'll think it's really cute in the world. There's a Pokemon Ranger that you interact with as a side character for a while, and I loved the nod to that series, because Rangers just aren't even mentioned in the main games. It's like they don't exist.
Does it say what region it's set in?
It's in a city. I don't think it ever says what region.
Okay. So it's just random.
I don't
know anything. It's just there.
I don't know why I'm completely blanking on the city name now. But yeah, and at the beginning of the game, Detective Pikachu says, yeah, here, Pokemon from all regions gather.
Oh, that's convenient.
Yeah.
Okay.
Too bad Professor Oak didn't go there when he started. Yeah. Like, oh, I got 150. And then he goes to this and he's like, what? There's so many here. Nice.
Those are my thoughts so far. I might have a follow-up next week after I see the conclusion of the story.
All right, nice. Another game that came out that that I've been playing a lot is a sequel to one of my favorite games of all time. That was Ni No Kuni 2. And it has lived up to most of my expectations. Some of the problems with the first game was, despite the story being very interesting and you want to follow it and see it through, some of the side stuff when you're not doing the main campaign could get kind of old and boring. Sometimes it was just a little bit too much in terms of fetch quests with not a whole lot of payoff or reward. So I think that in the second game, that is improved a lot more. The side quests feel a little bit more fleshed out, and I think that's because of the kingdom building aspect which the game implemented, because some of the side quests involve you going to find different residents that you want to bring to your kingdom. So it's not just like, oh, here's some gold or here's some experience and maybe a random item that you get for completing the quest. A lot of them have tangible effects, like, hey, this person is here and now they can go work in this, you know, building or factory and be able to create more items or potions or something. So I think that it fixed that. But one of my major problems with it is, despite the fact that the side stuff's more interesting, the main story is definitely a step below the first game. Because that whole driving force of, you know, your mom died and you need to go into this other world to try and find her other self, that was, like, powerful and you wanted to get through that. But here, you get the... Your main character, Evan, is a new king and he gets overthrown instantly. And then you're out and then you build your own kingdom and then it's a matter of just going around and finding other kingdoms to sign your pact so everyone can live happily ever after. And that's fine, but it's not terribly interesting. It
doesn't sound quite as compelling.
No.
Yeah.
And there's self-contained stories in the kingdoms and there is a main villain that you see when you go to each kingdom. But as it is right now, through, let's see, 3 of the 4 extra kingdoms, he's barely done anything. He just shows up and he's like, hey, and then I'm evil, and then he leaves or whatever.
Yeah.
So the main campaign and the villain's main motive, one, has not been shown whatsoever almost 20 hours in, and it's just not that interesting. You're more compelled to see what these other kingdoms are aesthetically because they're all very different. One's a casino town, one's on the water, one is very techie. That, to me, is honestly more interesting than the reason I go to these places, which is kind of an issue.
It kind of sounds like Super Mario Odyssey, almost. How, like, the story isn't interesting at all, really, but it's, like, the allure of going to these very unique worlds. And for a Mario game, that's fine, but for the narrative standard, I feel like you think the first game set, that is a little disappointing.
Yeah, it kind of frustrates me a little because in most other aspects, the game really improves. But even the fact that you're overthrown is kind of a footnote, honestly. You get overthrown, and then within 5 hours, you're like, oh, here's my new kingdom. And then, you know, you're off to these other kingdoms. Like,
what happens to your old kingdom and the guy that overthrew you? Nothing?
He's just there now.
Oh, okay.
After he overthrew the kingdom, there was one cutscene with him. And that was it. Huh. Like,
I figured he'd be main villain or something like
that. No, there's another main villain. It's weird. And that kingdom that was overthrown is the last one that you go to. There's also only 4 other kingdoms, by the way, which is a little bit small to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, that just doesn't have a very large focus, which is weird because the first hour is just like you trying to escape, you know, your kingdom when it's getting overthrown and everything. And then it's just like, yeah, you know, whatever. Moving on from that. So the story kind of leaves a lot to be desired. But really, I think it's a more fun experience because despite the fact that the first game was much more compelling story-wise, I think that the second game is just overall more fun because there's more to do. The combat system, I think, is improved. I enjoyed the familiars, but one that could lead itself to a lot of grinding if you want to switch those things up because then it's like, well, now I got to go catch another one, then I got to level it up and evolve it or whatever. And it's a lot more fast-paced because you don't have to switch out these familiars all the time. You're just going, and there's not as much break in pace, or you're like, oh, I have to pull this guy out because he's getting tired or whatever. So I think the battle system is more fluid, and the variety of gameplay styles, whether it be normal combat, whether it be the more army skirmishes that are pretty fun, as well as the kingdom building, I feel like there's enough variety so that things don't get super old. Mm-hmm. And I'm just having more fun, because despite the fact that the first game had a much better story, it could get a little bit dull sometimes.
So here's, this may be a silly question, but what makes this a sequel? Why is this in the same franchise if it's, like, the cutscenes aren't done by Studio Ghibli, it's completely different set of characters, it's different battle style, and then it has this new kingdom building thing. How are these related?
Well, Ding Dong Dell, the city, or the kingdom that has been overthrown, is from the first game. Okay. So it's set in the same world, but beyond that, it's all entirely new kingdoms and worlds, which is good because it's like, I don't want to go to the same places again. But it still has the exact same look, even though it's not, it does not have those animated cutscenes, which do kind of hold it back. And building off of that, one of my other complaints with the game is its choice of when to use voice acting. Because you have those like main cutscenes, which are fully voiced, and that those are great. And then there are some that are still more in-game cutscenes, but are still voiced, and then some are just not voiced. And that can happen all in the same scene.
That's really weird.
So it'll be like, ooh, character introduction. Here's this king who's doing something evil or whatever. And he's like fully voiced the nice cutscenes. And then it drops back and then it's voiced. And then it drops back again and it's not voiced. Mm-hmm. And so it's like some of the cutscenes I feel should have way more weight than they actually do because you're just reading it.
Yeah, Radiant Astoria has that issue too. On 3DS, the remake, because it'll be like, if it's a named character, all their lines are voiced, but then if he's talking to one of his grunts, he'll have text, but it'll just be like, yes, sir. So yeah. It's really weird. It's like, oh, we need to cut them off at the bridge. Okay. And it's just like, you know, those few, like, five pre-recorded sayings. So that's, yeah, it's really weird.
Yeah, so that can kind of take you out of some of the cutscenes, because they are important cutscenes, and they should have weight, but they just don't, because the presentation leaves something to be desired. But despite the fact that I do have some criticisms of the game, I had an absolute blast. In the span of 3 days, I put in like 18 hours into it. I love the kingdom building aspect. It can be super addicting, especially to go and find new people to add to your kingdom. And just going to these different locales. Like the casino place was so cool because everything there is based off luck. They have a statue in the center of town that throws a dice to determine what happens. To be like, oh, if it's an even number, we'll do this. And if it's an odd number, we'll do this. So it's really cool how they incorporate the different styles into these kingdoms. And if you at all enjoyed the first game, I highly recommend going and picking this one up, because it's still an absolute blast and a ton of fun to play.
Cool.
Yeah. And wow. I need to go back and play some more of it. And it's a shorter game, too. It's only, like, 30 hours main campaign, as compared to the first one's, like, 55 or 60.
So you're well over halfway.
So it's a little bit smaller, so it's much easier to get into, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
That enticed me, you just telling me that it's, like, half the commitment of the first one.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you still want to go doing all the side stuff, it gives you that option to spend more time in the world. But the main campaign's a little bit shorter, which can be nice, because I felt like the first one kind of overstayed its welcome the last like 5 to 6 hours. So
I don't feel that way.
Oh, okay.
I really love Ni No Kuni 1.
Oh, I adore that game. But after you beat the final boss and have to do another final boss, the witch. I was done.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. That's so fine. Yeah. But highly recommend Ni No Kuni 2. It is a blast to play.
Yep.
Yeah. So that was basically all I've been playing, because as soon as that game came out,
yeah.
Just off and running.
You were a vegetable.
Yes. Yeah, I was just sitting on the couch for 18 hours. The other game that came out that I do not want you guys to spoil too much, because I'm going to get around to play it in the next couple of weeks.
You might
want to
plug your ears.
No, we won't spoil anything.
I will not be happy if you do that. But that was A Way Out. Yes. So I will let you guys take over and talk about that.
A Way Out's in my top 10 games of all time.
I think it might have snuck its way in there for me too, just because of how attached I got to these characters.
Yeah. So why don't you start, Zach? Let's just start with the gameplay itself, talking about A Way Out, because that's what surprised me the most.
Way more to do than was expected.
Mm-hmm.
There was just every little aspect of different genres and mini games that I didn't even see coming. Like that you could go around and find these little board games, or there was an arcade machine at one point, and you could, I played this with Logan, by the way. We played it together in the span of 2 sessions, because it's not a super long game. It's
six or seven hours.
Yeah. And we would just walk around because we like seeing all the things. And we would like find Connect Four just sitting on a table, and we would be like, we have to play this right now. And I would get upset if my character lost, and I'd be really happy if I won. I won the arcade game. I don't remember what it was called.
Grenade Jumpers or something like that?
It was like Pong, but like vertically instead of horizontally. You'd have to hit it over a net like in tennis.
Yeah.
It was super 2D. It looked really like hard.
Yeah.
But
so you're just walking around. So this isn't a spoiler. I mean, if you've seen the trailers, it's not all in prison. That's what I thought when this game was first
announced. I also thought
that. I thought it was going to be a like 4-hour experience breaking out of prison with a buddy. But, I don't know, prison's what, the first hour and a half to 2 hours. And then the rest of the game is on the run post-prison after you get out. So, yeah, the trailer showed a lot of that, which was surprising. And it's just so cool. Yeah, you're walking. We're in this stranger's home at one point. There's a piano, and you just walk up to it, and you trigger a rhythm game.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's triangle, square, and X, and it's just like Guitar Hero, these things coming across the screen. And at the top, Leo was the name of Zach's character, and I was Vincent. And at the top, it just has Leo on the left and Vincent on the right of what the high score was.
Yeah.
And at a different place, there's darts. And so we kept beating each other in darts while the other was off doing something actually pertinent to the main story.
Exactly.
And then Zach would be like, shoot, I have to come beat your dart score now before we move on. So it's just all this random stuff. There are these two wheelchairs at one point that we were sitting in, and you can like lean back and try to balance it, and you have to like move the stick and mash buttons to balance yourself, and it keeps track of your seconds at top. And so it's all these just tiny competitive mini games interspersed throughout the main story. And we only said what, probably a third of how many there actually are.
Oh yeah,
in the game.
there are
way more out there. You just run across and you're like, wait, we can actually do this right now? Yeah.
Like there was a bench, like a weight bench at one point where you could just mash square as hard as you could and just lift weights and try and get a high score. And once you got to 10, it was basically impossible because I was basically vibrating my finger on the button and it wasn't moving at all. It was insane.
Yeah. So that's like the side stuff, which I did not expect at all, because it's a very linear experience, like Uncharted. So it's like if you were just moving along in Uncharted and it's like, hey, you want to play Connect 4 with Soli? And you guys just, it's crazy. Yeah. It was really, really cool. And it was something that I think really showcased the two-player nature of the game. And it's like, hey, Zach, get over here. We got to play this.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. So I think next we'll touch on the story for a little bit, not too much of it. But yeah, Leo definitely. And Vincent are two convicted criminals. And Vincent is new to the prison.
Yeah.
Gets put in a cell right next to Leo. And basically, one night, Leo kind of gives away that he has a plan to break out. And Vincent's like, let me come with you. Because there's this shared enemy they have on the outside named Harvey, who has both screwed over Leo and Vincent in different ways. He's like a crime boss.
Yep.
And so they decide to break out and go kill Harvey. And that's announced in like the first half hour or hour of the game that is the main plot.
Yep.
And so through some crazy stuff, some awesome co-op. I think this is the best co-op in any game.
Yeah.
Because it's not like Halo where it's like, all right, let's go do this firefight. It is so creative. It's like, I'll say one scenario from early on in the game because there's some stuff I don't want to spoil from later that you get to do. But basically, we need to sneak into a different room in the prison to get some sheets. We need sheets for something. And so what, we have to go back and get this laundry cart. I hop in the cart. And Zach just pushes it across the prison. Well, I'm in there and I'm like peeking outside the window with a little, pulling down a sheet to cover my eyes. And then I get into the room, I get out, and I somehow let Zach in. So it's like we constantly had different roles.
But they were interchangeable. It didn't matter who did what. You basically got to choose what you wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like you got to work through it with your partner and you got to pick which part you wanted to do and what you wanted to do, what you thought you could handle the best. And it's basically like, thinking like I'm better at stealthing, you're better at mashing buttons or picking the right prompt to do.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
And also there's another choice element too, which is if Leo and Vincent disagree, this thing comes up where it's like Leo's way, and Leo's way is usually more aggressive. He is much more just upfront, charge in and get it done, and Vincent is much more tactical. For example, I think the first choice we ran across in the game, I'm just trying to say all the stuff from early on, is we were at a bridge and there are a bunch of cops on the bridge and there was a police car that Leo wanted to steal.
Yep.
But we could have climbed under the bridge. We would have been over this huge river and it would have been dangerous, but we would not have been seen. So it's like, all right, Leo's way, take the car and charge across the bridge. Vincent's way, stealth your way under the bridge. And the two characters have to agree. You have to both select the same one and then hold square to lock it in. And so we usually came to the same decision pretty quickly, but there were a couple of times where it was like my dot was on one side and his dot was on the other.
We were just silent.
Yeah, just holding it there like, I'm not moving. So that was really cool too. It really makes you work together with your partner, unlike other co-op games. And I think that's what's so cool about this being a co-op required game. You cannot play this alone. And it really shows in a lot of the design.
I liked how the majority of the game was in third person and split screen. So each character you would just see behind their back like a normal third person. But it would occasionally switch it up. Like there were sections where it would go from having both characters on the screen to just having one character. And then it would switch to 2D and you're just walking along and just doing your own thing. And then at one point it was an overhead view where we were in the middle of a chase and we had to like corner a guy. There were triangles to see which character was which so we wouldn't get lost. And we would have to corner a guy who was running around a little maze area. And that was more difficult than it probably should have been.
It was very difficult.
Yeah.
But just... yeah, so many like genres infused into this one game. It was just really cool. No scene felt the same.
Yeah.
Like, you ask me, what is the gameplay style of A Way Out? It's kind of just, like, it's kind of a new genre. It's kind of like, it's a co-op game where you're going to do a little bit of everything. You're going to have to talk your way out of stuff. You're going to have to drive. You're going to have to shoot. There's a ton you have to do in this
game. There were actual driving mechanics. Like, in chases, you would actually have to drive, like, in a Grand Theft Auto or a racing game, which I thought was interesting. And, as usual, someone else would probably shoot out the back.
Yeah, and so...
which was not easy.
It was just different in every scenario, and we're not going to say why.
Yeah.
But the last 2 hours of that game, what we played in our second session...
yeah.
That's one of the greatest, like, single sessions of gaming I think I've ever played.
It was a ride.
It was crazy. We can't say why, but play A Way Out. Kevin, play A Way Out.
Oh, I'm playing it, yeah.
Yeah, and play it with someone who has not already played it. Again, we're not going to say why, but I was planning on playing it with Kevin after Zach and I beat it, but I think you need to play it with someone who has not played it before.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't say any more than that, but very powerful game. We both loved it. It was awesome.
Yep.
Sweet. Yeah, I'm looking forward to playing it. I've already got someone who is in, so we'll be playing it hopefully over the next couple of weeks.
Can you play it when you're with them, or do you have to do it online?
I have to do it online.
That's a shame. I feel like split screen, that'd be the best experience.
Yeah, well...
well, we don't necessarily know if it's not split screen when you're playing online, but being in the same room as the person is real helpful.
Yeah. Definitely talk to them. You have to talk to them.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Just silence.
Yeah, that just game, its story is... it's very good. It is a very good story. It's one of my favorites for sure.
It's an amazing game for
$30. $30! I can't believe that thing cost $30 for what we experienced. But it was awesome. It was so good. But yeah, I think we gave a good kind of gist of everything you're going to do. The story is great. The gameplay is constantly changing. It's beautiful.
It looks very, very pretty.
And playing as your individual character, you get so attached to them.
I am incredibly attached to Leo.
Yes, and I love Vincent too. And you like the other person's character.
I do.
And you do feel the bond forming between Leo and Vincent, but it's really about like your connection to your character, and that's what's really cool about it.
Hmm.
So, yeah, it's awesome. Awesome game. Exceeded my expectations. Like, this will be a fun time to just chill and hang out with one of my friends playing this game, but we got so much more than that. Yeah. So you got to play it, Kevin.
Yeah, I know. I'll get around to
it. Feel bad because we're gushing about it so much.
I know, and I'm still here like...
so good.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll get to it. I was kind of preoccupied.
Yeah. Right. Came out the same day as Ni No Kuni 2, so I'm like, I'll play it with Zach.
Yeah.
So,
I'm going to be busy.
I would have been really upset if I wasn't chosen to play it with.
So it was awesome. One of my, best co-op experience I think I've ever had, just because... never played a game that is that tailored to that style.
Well, that's important, because with a lot of games, it's like, here's multiplayer. It's like, oh, that's cool. But generally, you want to avoid making a purely co-op game, because that can kind of
turn people
away if they don't have another person to play with. But they went all in, and I think that really showed.
And Kevin, after you've played it and after it's been out there for a while, I think we should do like a little spoiler cast section of it.
Okay.
Just to talk about Zach and I can't talk about right now, and it's driving us crazy.
Yeah, so, we'll get there for sure.
So that game's awesome, but go play it.
Yeah.
Find a friend, someone you're close to. Don't play online with a stranger. Find someone you are relatively close to play
that
with.
Be prepared to bond to somebody.
Yes. Yeah, very, very good.
Sweet. All right, let's hop into some news here. Not too much, but we do have a couple of things from both PlayStation and Xbox to talk about. So,
So the games with Gold and the PlayStation Plus games were announced for April. Big month in March for PlayStation with Bloodborne. Not quite as big this month. We'll start there. We are getting Mad Max on PS4, which I've heard very mixed things about.
I heard it was a fine open world game, but it kind of can fall into the traps of an open world game as well. Maybe it's not interesting the whole way through. There's not too much to do in a more open world, but generally for a licensed game like that, I've heard pretty good things.
Yeah, I've just heard it's very bloated and like doesn't respect your time. Like there's all like these just bland quests to do, which can happen in a lot of open world games.
Yeah,
it's why like I'm pretty selective of what open world games I play, because like I feel like I get that bug quicker than most, because it's like, yeah, I just don't like these uninteresting side quests. So that's what I've heard about that. Are you gonna pick that one up, Zach?
I don't think so.
No,
probably not.
Too much else to play.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, I'm not going to play it for a long time, but with all of these PS Plus games, I always just like grab them because it's like, hey, maybe years down the road, there it is.
Oh, yeah, 3 years from now, I'm like,
I don't know. Man. I mean, it's free.
Yeah,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
yeah, might as well.
You don't even have to use up any space, which is nice. That you don't have to just download it straight up there. You can just be like, yeah, I'll claim that. Download it some other time.
Yep. Trackmania Turbo on PS4. Do you guys know what that is?
No idea.
Sounds like a racing game.
It's a decent, this is from Polygon, it's a decent arcade-style racing game that's fun for fans of the genre, is all what it says.
That okay. I might check out.
Yeah.
All right.
And then Mad Max says it received a lukewarm response in 2015, but has found belated appreciation ever since.
So all right.
Yeah. People are looking back now, it's like, yeah, I'll probably pick that one up. I'll probably add that one.
I did like the movie, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I adored that movie.
All you need to get into the game.
On PS3, In Space We Brawl and Toy Home.
Okay.
Yeah, and then on
heavy hitters.
On Vita, yeah. 99 Vitas. Yeah, and then Qbert Rebooted. Qbert is so cute.
Qbert is cute.
That was cross play, right?
And that is cross play, cross buy with PS3 and PS4.
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah, cool.
So yeah, not quite as big of a month, but I mean, Bloodborne was that's a big
yeah, Ratchet. That was a really big one.
I mean, that's Ratchet two and Clank. Yeah. Pretty big games right there.
Yeah.
So disappointing Xbox. For anyone who just hops in then.
Nope. Yep.
Yeah.
Xbox has a really good month for games with Gold. We have The Witness, which is an awesome puzzle game.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
Either you played it?
No.
It is really, really good. It's so hard. That game has no dialogue. There's no tutorials or anything. It's like you teach yourself, basically, because the puzzles just take baby steps every time. And so then all these different rules keep getting introduced, like, oh, if there's a red box, you have, like, two red boxes, you have to kind of divide into the same section. So you're, like, cutting it up like a pizza to have all the matching boxes together. There's panels that, like, flip boxes. And you're just taking these baby steps. So eventually you're doing all of these things at once. And you're like, how did I get here? So that's a really cool puzzle game. It was PS4 exclusive when it came out and PC. But now it's an Xbox One games with Gold. And then Assassin's Creed Syndicate, which is the Victorian London one.
Yeah.
People really liked that one. That was after the disappointment of Unity, I believe.
Oh, so yeah, yeah.
People like Syndicate a lot. That's really good.
Was Unity the co-op one?
Yes. Okay. That was broken. I heard that was pretty
broken, yeah.
Oh, Ubisoft.
Cars 2 on Xbox 360. Oh. And Dead Space 2 on the two
platforms.
Yeah.
All
right.
Yeah, that's a pretty strong month.
Cars 2 is just there.
Yeah, Cars 2 is there.
Just like, ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I might solid. Actually pick up Cars 2.
Curious, know. Man. I've heard a lot of
good things. Great things, yeah.
Could be fun. Probably not. I used to have the Cars game on DS.
I had Cars game on the Xbox.
And the Cars game on DS was just mini games. And, like, the best one was, like, Pit Stop, or just on the bottom screen, you just tap the lug nuts as fast as you can on the top. It was not a good
game.
That's
gross.
Yeah. It was pretty bad. All right. Moving on to our other item of news for today. Far Cry 5 is out and people are liking it a lot.
Yeah. From what I've heard, it's if you liked any of the past Far Cry games, you're gonna like this one.
Yeah.
It's the same basic concept of just zany open world destruction of the previous games. People really do like that world as well. And and the companions that you can have as well. I mean, it's more so enjoying the things that they added, because Far Cry 3 and Far Cry 4 were really similar games, so whatever they add in Far Cry 5 is really important. So I think that people are really liking
it. I'm hearing that it's also very similar.
Yeah.
There are some differences. Co-op. Has co-op been a thing in the other ones?
Co-op has existed, but not story mode. Co-op, what they did, especially with Far Cry 3, they had multiplayer-specific missions that weren't at all tied to the main story.
So there's that, and then there's NPCs that are your allies more than we've seen before. There's the dog, which people are freaking out about.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of this dog. Apparently you give him tummy rubs to heal him, and that's the cutest thing I've ever heard.
Do you guys remember a few years ago when, like, there was a dog in, like, every game? Like, there was an
Fallout 4?
Yeah, there was an E3. It was the year of Fallout 4, where there were, like, dogs in every, like, main AAA game that year. I don't remember any of the other games, but Call of Duty also had a dog, and then Fallout 4 had a dog, and it's back now in Far Cry 5.
Yeah.
And then there's a lot more aerial combat, I think, is what I've seen. Helicopters and planes are more readily available. But yeah, it's just a new world. I have seen that it's not, like, as exotic as the locations in 3 and 4, which makes sense, because it's Montana.
Yeah, you're not in a tropical paradise or in the mountains. The Himalayas or whatever. Yeah,
it's a creepy backwater cult.
But in its own way, I think that can be really cool.
Oh, yeah, that sounds cool. Down to it sounds pretty unique for a video game, like a creepy backwater cult. Like, I didn't expect that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Far Cry series just kind of takes risks almost with their settings and story. Like, you remember when there's the big backlash over Far Cry 4's cover because it had... the main villain of that game, like, I think was he, like, resting his arm on a black child, like, who was his slave, and people freaked out about that. And, like, then people were kind of freaking out about the cult and just kind of the religious overtones in Montana, in America, from Far Cry 5. So they've taken risks before.
It's a game I definitely want to play. I need to finish Far Cry 3. I'm nearing the end of that game, and I just never finished it, but I had a bunch of fun with it, and after kind of resting and not really playing much of Far Cry 4, I think that 5 would be really good to jump back into the series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If it hadn't been delayed a month, I would have played it, but it came out right around Detective Pikachu and A Way Out, and just more is in the pipeline, so, oh well.
Are the stories connected for the Far Cry games?
No.
No.
No, it's all
so
separate.
You could just jump in whenever?
Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I might. Try 5.
Yeah.
I'm interested.
You should get it and then lend it to me.
Oh, good idea.
Do it. But yeah, I think it looks really cool. Apparently it doesn't get too political, which is also good. I wondered if it would, taking place in a very conservative area right now, but I was glad to see that it doesn't take on too many real themes that could get people really upset.
Because you want to have what drives the story forward, but you don't want to be too much preaching, especially in a game that says... over the top as Far Cry is. I think that'd be a little bit out of place. Yeah. But so
looks pretty good. Maybe I'll pick it up at some point. Maybe it'll be cheap in Black Friday.
The way the games are going right now, even a game that releases the same year as that Black Friday is usually down to like $30 or $25.
Monster Hunter World is $45 right now.
Yeah. Yeah, which is just crazy. Like, Mario plus Rabbids came out last August.
It's like $30 now, right?
It's $30. And just seeing a Mario game that's gone down 50%, I was like, whoa! I'm like, I have to remember that's made by Ubisoft, not Nintendo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why it's already down. But, yeah.
Yeah. Helpful for the consumer if you're just waiting or if you've got other games to play.
Mm-hmm.
You can just come back and spend half the price.
Just goes to show that you shouldn't pick it up immediately if you have a long list of games to play and just put it on your shelf. Buy it after you finish playing games. It'll be cheaper than you put it on your shelf.
Yeah.
Alrighty, and that is all we have for news this week. A bit light this week. A lot of games.
I know, it's games. Basically all games, except next week's pretty light. But as we get into April, it's going to be a lot.
God of War, Nintendo of War, Labo.
Nexus 6, a lot of stuff coming out.
Labo.
I'm all about Labo. So,
I still don't know if I'm going to pick up Labo.
You're still on the fence? I thought you decided against that.
I did, but it looks cool.
Does it?
It does look really cool, but is it... What, 80? 90?
It's 70.
$100? Oh, 70. Okay.
70 for the variety pack, which has a piano and a fishing rod and an RC bike, and 80 for the robot kit. And people are like, yeah, this gameplay has more depth than we expected. There's more to do. With the motorbike one, you can use the Joy-Con's IR camera to like scan real-life objects, and then it turns them into a track. So like scan your hand, and then you go around a racetrack
with
the shape
cool.
of your hand. So it's like there's more depth than people expected there would be.
Huh.
Yeah, so, and you can, like, program your own games. Oh, like, wow. If you buy your own cardboard and build something on the Switch itself, I think, like, using the touchscreen and controllers, a combination, you can, like, make diagrams of what you made in real life and then tell, like, the Joy-Cons what to do if you hit the button, and it's called Toy-Con Garage. So you can essentially make your own Labo creations if you're creative enough and, like, program your own little games with that.
Oh, okay. I didn't expect that. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, so it has a lot more depth than I expected it would.
All right. There's too much else, man.
Yeah.
I can't dive into Labo.
I don't think I can either.
No way. But it does definitely look interesting. So now we are going to kind of switch gears a little bit. And do a little segment, ode to side characters.
Woo!
We love side characters.
We yes.
Really attached.
So, we have each picked one side character that we think could hold up their own game.
Yep.
And why don't we start with Zach?
Oh, okay. Wasn't expecting to go first.
You got it.
But I am prepared. Don't worry. All right, so
long pause.
Yeah, I just okay. It's time a lot to come to up with something, man. Okay, so Waluigi is a character that I've talked about quite a bit on the show because you know he's my favorite video game character favorite. Of all time. I'm part of the cult. It's okay. Don't judge me for it. I love Waluigi. It's not weird. It's a little weird, but so Waluigi is a character that you know only appears in the sports themed Nintendo games. He just shows up as usually the partner, because you usually need a partner in these sports games, and Wario needs a partner, because he's a lonely guy.
He's a very lonely individual. Well, he's also in kart racers and
those are kind of sports.
Yeah.
Party games, not so much, but that's a good point. He is in party games.
But he's not in any mainline game.
Yeah, but I always play him in the party games, and I enjoy that. So, he's never had his own mainline game, and I've always just really, really, really wanted a mainline Waluigi game, because there's like a lot of places they could take it, because he's not a lot is known about Waluigi in terms of, you know, backstory and powers.
Literally nothing.
He's just a weird dude.
There is, okay, a couple years ago I found online this fan-made 2D Waluigi platformer called Psycho Waluigi, where Waluigi has psychic powers, and it's super good, and I really wanted it to be a real game because it was actually really fun to play. I never finished it, and it's still on my computer, so I could delve back into it whenever, but it's free. I don't know if it's actually still up or not, because it has been a couple years, but it was super interesting, and if they just made like something like that for the Switch, like a simple 2D Waluigi with psychic powers platformer, like, I'd be okay with that. And I've
like, simple Waluigi 2D with psychic powers.
Also,
it's simple stuff.
There was some weird fan art I saw on Twitter once of a 3D Waluigi pirate game. And I just, after I saw it, I just couldn't stop thinking about it. And I basically designed this whole game in my head of a 3D
Waluigi
pirate-themed game for Nintendo. So if they ever want it, I've got it in my head. I haven't written it down, so if I die, it dies with me.
Whoa.
But, man, we talk about the thing that would get me to buy a Switch. Anything with Waluigi's name in the title.
Psychic-powered Waluigi.
Psychic-powered Waluigi on the Pirate open Adventure. Yeah.
All right, before I share mine, you sparked a thought in me.
Yeah.
Earlier this week on the internet, I saw someone put together a Mario timeline. And it's not, like, real, but it is so in-depth.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of cues from the Zelda timeline.
Oh, yeah.
How it branches, like, if the hero fails, is a whole timeline.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious. First, just look at this thing.
That thing is huge.
Yeah. And so, basically, every major kind of time point revolves around what Yoshi does with Baby Mario in the Yoshi's Island.
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing.
And so, like, the very first game ever is Yoshi's Island. And the two timelines that split off of it is Yoshi is defeated and Yoshi rescues the children. If Yoshi is defeated, Mario's raised by the Koopa and he unifies the Mushroom Kingdom. And that is the Mario Sports series. It just has the whole Mario Sports series.
That's
and so
awesome.
What you'll notice is that
holy crap.
Every time Yoshi fails, there's like 3 points where Yoshi fails. It's like Mario Kart series because Yoshi failed. And then in a way later one, it's like, we need to get everyone back together to unify the timeline again. And then it's like, while they were all together, it seemed fit for a celebration, the Mario Party series. And so it's just a crazy timeline. I'll just read one quick branch here. In one later on, Yoshi rescues the children in the Yoshi's Island DS. Mario grows up. Then we have Super Mario Brothers, Super Mario 64. Then it says Mushroom Kingdom is invaded by the ambassadors of the Bean Bean Kingdom. So then we have Superstar Saga. Then it says Professor Egad creates a time machine, which leads to Partners in Time, which creates a four-pronged timeline from Partners in Time.
Whoever made this is amazing.
Yeah, it's insane. That's all the depth I'll go into. Oh my but God. It was a really fun read.
That's amazing.
Maybe we'll post it on our Twitter so people can go see that.
Jeez. I want to check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds crazy.
All right, so my character... I just came up with this last minute, and I had one. I had Meta Knight, but I switched to KK Slider.
Oh, Animal Crossing. My God. I would play a musical-themed game based off of KK Slider's life.
Yes, just touring the globe, going to all these different Animal Crossing villages as KK Slider. It'd be... Animal Crossing music's pretty good. It could be all Nintendo music, maybe. Like a Guitar Hero type thing with KK Slider.
Well, he's got a bunch of his own music from New Leaf. That was always super cool to me, was to see all the different music and be able to get that to play.
He's
in
got
my house.
Dozens of tracks.
He is just a very, very cool character. It's weird to see him in Pocket Camp without a guitar because he's the only naked animal. So that's really
he's
weird.
He's just really naked.
So, but yeah, with his guitar, I don't know, some sort of music game. World Tour, KK Slider's World Tour is what I'm going to call it, and that would be my spinoff game.
You have a title? Okay.
Yeah. So do you, Psychic Powers Waluigi.
Psychic Power Waluigi
on the open seas.
Open seas.
Yep. All right, Kevin.
Skull and Waluigi.
Skull and Waluigi. Skull and Wah. Okay, go ahead.
All right, so...
Waluigi.
So my character... is Victor Sullivan from the Uncharted series.
What game is that from again? I don't remember.
No, it's from Victor Sullivan,
his own series.
He's already got one already.
Got it.
Especially Victor Sullivan as a younger person, because they harken back to that in like Uncharted 3, where they've got a bunch of scenes of the young Victor Sullivan and Nate. And I feel like that's one area where you could go back and revisit the Uncharted series to kind of show... the development of Victor Sullivan, because we don't know a ton about his past. I mean, he alludes to it from time to time, but it's still a really big mystery. They've already got the spinoff with Lost Legacy. I think if they're ever going to go back to Uncharted, Victor Sullivan would be the character who it would revolve around in his younger years.
I mean, he was already a really accomplished thief before he met Drake, because he met Drake while he was like in the middle of the switch off with the main bad guy from Uncharted 3. So if they wanted to, they could do it before he met Drake, or they could even do it after he met Drake. Because there's still a whole bunch of time from when he met Drake to when he like helped nurture his
abilities. That could
abilities.
Be, if they really wanted to go this far, they could have, you know, a two-part series.
Yeah.
Where you've got, you know, pre-Nathan Drake, Victor Sullivan, and then post where Drake's still young.
I think it's a trilogy, and then the third one is his adventures with Sam.
Post-Uncharted. Yeah, I think that'd be really
because
fun.
Because whenever I've thought about a Victor Sullivan game, it's always been what happens after Uncharted 4, because he and, he just kind of, he's still around.
They set it up, oddly enough, at the end of Uncharted 4, and then they went with Chloe and Nadine, which I was surprised about. I thought they were going to go with Victor and Sam if they were going to do a spinoff, but I was not disappointed with A Lost Legacy, which you still need to finish, Logan.
Yeah,
you do.
But
I think that could be a really good way to go back and revisit the Uncharted series if Naughty Dog has any extra time. To focus on Victor Sullivan, because he's an awesome character, and I think they need to flesh him out a little bit more.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. All right, now we will patiently await these games coming out in the next couple of years. They've all started development
now. When I was 5 years old, I wrote an email to Nintendo asking them to make a game about Toad and Toadette. It happened 9 years later. So it's just a 9-year wait.
Yeah.
All right,
it'll happen.
Let's see. What,
2027? Yeah, all these games are coming out.
All right, mark the calendars.
Expect them.
They'll all be out. As for new games coming out this week, it's pretty light. There's not a whole lot, because everything came out last week. You know, you had Ni No Kuni 2, you had A Way Out, you had Far Cry 5.
Nobody wants to follow that.
But for whatever reason, they all want to release in the same week,
which
is bizarre.
That's a competition.
So, let's see, because...
And I feel like the loser out of those is A Way Out, which is unfortunate.
I know, it was unexpectedly amazing.
Yeah.
Well, because a lot of those, like Far Cry 5 and Ni No Kuni 2, are sequels to
and
popular
Detective
game
Pikachu
series.
Has
and
Pikachu
Pokemon
on the cover.
It's got Pikachu.
Yeah, so this week, the bunker for Switch, Rick and Morty virtual reality game, Super Daryl Deluxe for Switch, Extinction for PC and consoles, and Bomb Slinger and Super Sario Fly. So a bunch of small titles if you're interested in any of those. But as we get into mid-April, that's when things really start to ramp up again with God of War and Yakuza 6. And
Nintendo Labo.
Nintendo Labo, so... Yeah, but that is going to do it for us. Any last words from you guys?
Go find a friend, family member, son, father, daughter, mom, grandma, uncle. Play a way out with them.
You forgot love of your life.
Yes.
Don't play with the love of your
life.
The love of your life.
Play it with Victor Sullivan.
Yep.
Play it with a friend. Play it with a close friend.
Or not a close friend. If someone you want to be your close friend, play it with them.
Yeah. Develop the friendship.
Yep.
Yep.
All right. That's going to do it for us. You can listen to Ode to Games every week. You can find us on iTunes or your other podcast app of your choice. You can find us on Twitter at Ode to Games or send us an email at odetogamescast@gmail.com. And we will catch you all next week.